Mr. Alfonso, why is a particularly good time to publish a book about marine fishes of Arctic Canada?
As you know, Canada's got the longest coastline of any country in the world. We are an Arctic nation, and very little was known about how many fish species we actually have in the marine waters of Canada's Arctic. So we've worked with the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, starting with our first curator of fishes, Don McAllister, who started in 1958, and unlike other ichthyologists of his time, looked to the north and started collecting. He would go up there, he scuba dived, he piloted research vessels, and he built up tremendous collections of Arctic fishes. Right now is a really great time for this book to be published because it represents a baseline of existing knowledge. Nobody knew until we worked on this book that there are actually 221 species of fishes in the Canadian Arctic, and the Arctic is changing. So we now know what's there, and that will give us a great measure to see how things change in the future.
So imagine you have a sort of descriptions and photographs of fishes?
In the book, for each species, there's a species account. It starts with an illustration, either a line drawing or a color photograph or both, the scientific name, common name in English, French, Inuktitut, and Greenlandic or Danish. There are sections on the taxonomy of the species, a description, habitat, biology, economic and cultural importance, distribution, and key references. And for each species, there is a little distribution map.
What other information is there in the book? You were mentioning history. Is that in there?
In the introduction, there are several overview chapters on the biodiversity of the Canadian Arctic. There's environment, the history of the research, various habitats, climate, northern cultures and traditional ecological knowledge, and summaries of the existing fisheries, short sections about scientific names and how they're used, an illustration of fish structure and description of anatomy, and a little note on how to collect and preserve fishes to add perhaps to our museum collections.
So in compiling the book, did you use Inuit indigenous knowledge?
We certainly did. We mostly relied on our partner, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans. They have stations in the north. They have offices in the north. They have Inuit staff and representatives in the community. So there is indigenous knowledge incorporated into the book.
Who is the book for?
The book is for anyone who's interested in fishes generally. It's for people perhaps who live in the north, and it's for resource managers. As the Arctic warms, there will be more and more Arctic fisheries, and we certainly need to know how to manage these resources wisely.
So is there a particular species of fish that you find interesting?
Well, I have to give away my personal bias here. I wrote the chapter on flatfishes, and the Greenland halibut is a fascinating species. It can grow quite large, historically up to 1.5 meters and 100 kilos. It's really abundant in the North Atlantic and in the Eastern Arctic, and it actually is a keystone species, which means that the entire fish food web depends on this species. It's at the very top of the food web. They are unique among flatfishes in that they don't sit flat on the bottom, but they swim up in the water column and they feed in schools. They're an amazing species and they're actually quite delicious too.
Is there another species that you want to mention?
Yes. Another keystone species in the Canadian Arctic is the Arctic cod, and this is found all through the Canadian and the larger Arctic. It is the most important species there because it exists in vast numbers. It exists in a unique environment, a sympagic environment, which is under the ice. And what they do is they feed on zooplankton and phytoplankton that grows under the ice, and everything in the Arctic eats Arctic cod, either directly or indirectly. Narwhals, Greenland halibut, seals, polar bears eat them indirectly when they're eating seals, and they're super important. They're little, but they're mighty.
Is there a danger that Arctic fish get fished out in the same way as we saw the eastern cod get fished out, as it becomes more easy to navigate the waters in the north?
That is a valid concern, and people are concerned about that. There has been a recent agreement among Arctic nations to not have large-scale commercial fishing in the Arctic, which is a great start. There are local subsistence fisheries and very, very local small-scale fisheries in Canada, and certainly in other countries. But they are, at the moment, at a scale small enough to not affect negatively larger stocks of fish like Greenland halibut.
So are you confident that they will be protected?
For now, yes. But we have to keep international agreements strong, and we need to do more monitoring in the Arctic.
Thank you very much for this.
You're very welcome.